Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable once again, and thank you very much for being with us on this Thursday morning into our third hour. Here's what the New York Times says about the work presented at Bard Summerscape. They say it is, quote, a hothouse for the creation of uncompromising cross-disciplinary hits. How cool. Bard Summerscape returns this year with an ambitious and genre-spanning festival of the arts. Through August 17th, the Fisher Center at Bard will be abuzz with opera, dance, music, and Spiegel Tent revelry. Then comes the 35th Bard Music Festival on August 8th through the 10th and the 14th through the 17th. To tell us more, we welcome Artistic Director and Chief Executive of the Fisher Center at Bard, Gideon Lester. Good morning, Gideon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Nice to be on with you.
Very nice to have you with us. We also welcome to the program director, Jean-Romain Vesperini, who returns to Bard Summerscape to helm the first fully staged American production of a rarely heard masterpiece, Dalibor. And am I saying that correct? I practice.
Yes.
Oh,
correct.
Well, thank God. Jean-Romain, thank you very much for being with us. I welcome you both to the program. Gideon, let us begin with you as to Summerscape and coming back and what it's like to put all of this together.
Well, it's certainly not boring. We have many different shows in development at the same time. The festival actually opened two weekends ago with our latest creation from the great choreographer Pam Tanowitz, who made a dance responding to Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, The Pastoral, and she collaborated with a great contemporary composer, Caroline Shaw, and with a visual artist, Sarah Crowner, and it was absolutely spectacular. And now we're in rehearsal for two projects. Jean Romain will tell you in a moment about Smetana's opera, Dalibor, which is having a very rare production, absolutely gorgeous piece. And then we're developing a new musical, which is very exciting for us. It's something we haven't done before with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Susan Laurie Parks. And that opens tomorrow in something that's new for us, which is a work-in-progress reading. We've decided that since everything we do at the Fisher Center is new and since we develop new projects across artistic disciplines, as you said, that it might be fun to invite the audience in to explore something with us that is at the very earliest stages of creation, and then we'll do a full production of it in the coming years. So I'd be glad to tell you more about that, too.
Well, that...
And then, of course, at the same time,
yeah, go ahead.
Our Spiegel Tent is up and running, and we have wonderful things coming up over the next couple of months in the Spiegel Tent, too.
When you talk about that new work, and it's one thing to do new work, and it's another to see it through and to present it later on as it has matured and grown. And what an amazing opportunity for an audience to see that growth.
I think so too. And the wonderful thing is we're all discovering together what this show really wants to be. Susan Laurie and I have been working on it already for a number of years. The story is that Scott Joplin, who of course is considered the father of ragtime music, wrote an opera in 1911 called Treemonisha, which disappeared for several decades and then reemerged in the late 1970s. And it's a beautiful fable about a young girl who grows up on a former plantation in the South, probably in Arkansas, where Joplin was born. And on her 18th birthday, she discovers that her parents are not her parents, but that she was found in a magical tree. And at that moment, a group of conjurers spirit her away on a series of magical adventures. And when she returns home, her community elect her their leader, and she creates a matriarchy on the grounds of a former slave plantation. So it's a beautiful story, and it has great ragtime music, but it doesn't quite work dramatically. And I love the music. And years ago, I approached Susan Laurie Parks, one of the finest playwrights, I think, most imaginative playwrights working in the country, and asked her if she knew Treemonisha. And she said, I grew up listening to it. My parents had the records. And I said, how would you feel about reinventing it for the 21st century. And that's what we're doing. So she's created a book and libretto, and she's calling it Jubilee. She's reframed it. She's setting it the day after the Emancipation Proclamation, the day after the enslaved people of the U.S. discovered that they were free. And it's a piece about freedom and about imagination, about what a society could be where all people are truly equal. And it opens with a great question: now that we're free, who do we want to be? And so what we're doing is sharing Susan Lurie's work so far, because we want to see how it works, how the structure is, what's exciting, what needs to continue to be worked on. And then we'll bring a composer in after this summer. And then, you know, we'll see whether it's a musical or a play with music or what it is. But this is, we are in the cauldron of the creative process. And I have to say, it's incredibly exciting to be working with artists of this caliber on a story that feels so vibrant and contemporary.
I want to get to Dalibor, but let me just ask this question of, and speak on her behalf and others. But what feedback have you gotten from artists who have this experience of getting to work in such an environment, in such a collaborative environment, in such a creative environment, that they can and they have time to work and to see the project grow?
You know, the response is always uniformly positive, but there are just very, very few places in the country at the moment where artists can really focus on long, slow development, and we try and provide ideal conditions. And of course, the Hudson Valley is just the most beautiful place for artists to be working. And what you may also know is that we're in the process of building a new building, which the great artist and architect Maya Lin has designed for us, which is a lab building for the performing arts. And that will really enable us to continue to grow the ways that we support artistic development, and then also bring the public into the workshop, as it were, to see these great artists and artisans at work. So I think there's nowhere like it. And that's as much about the place, about the environment of Bard, about the beauty of the Hudson Valley, the people who live here, as it is about what we can provide. So we do our very best to support artists' dreams.
Jean-Romain Vesperini, you are returning to Bard Summerscape and helming this fully staged American production of a masterpiece that is rarely heard, and that is Dalibor. Give us a sense of what brought you to it and when that spark got ignited.
So Dalibor, Smetana's Dalibor, will be fully staged, performed here for the very first time in the country. And I staged 2 years ago the Henry VIII by Saint-Saëns. And so I'm delighted to come back here to work on this very unique project. And as Gideon says, I think here is the most amazing place to work, because you're surrounded by such an environment, so it just allows you to express your artistry. So Dalibor is about a night in Bohème. It happens during the 14th century. And it's a story also about freedom, actually, so it makes sense to have this show in parallel with Ghibli, because it's about freedom, a knight who wants to be free. And it was at that time an opera that was made to support the Czech against the Habsburg, the Austrian monarchy. And so it's a very powerful opera. And the music is, I would say, the drama, carries the drama during all the show. It's quite an extravagant plot, we can say, because it's an opera from the 19th century. But it's so powerful, the music itself is so powerful, that it gives us the possibility to enhance and support the opera with visual arts. We developed a lot of video designs. There will be projections on stage. So it's, in a way, we are traditional in the way that we respect the libretto, but we are very modern using those new way of working, new technologies.
So it's fascinating to me that you can take liberties, but you know when, I assume you have a sense when you've gone too far, right? You have, you are going to, you don't veer too much from what is on the page and the work is written.
Yes, actually, we are not literally doing what it's written on the score, but we are trying to make it relevant for a contemporary audience. So, you know, I can say that maybe the set design is a very modern set design, but it's not a reconstitution from the 14th century, but it's not also a reconstitution from a contemporary world. It's more here to develop the imagination of the audience. And the costumes, for instance, are inspired by the 14th century. So there is this kind of mix between inspiration of that time and also doing something very modern, visually speaking. And I think it's the good way to express the opera nowadays. So it's, in a way, you are telling the story, which is written in the libretto, so the audience can understand what we are talking about. But on the other hand, we use technologies that are very modern, very contemporary, and I think that makes it very relevant.
What has it been like, Gideon, to watch this all come together?
Sorry, I lost you for 1 second. Could you?
Of course. No, I was asking of what it's been like for you to watch all of this come together, of the work that has been done by Jean Remen, and also that of just seeing Dalibor start to take shape.
Well, it's absolutely magnificent. You know, I feel like a kid in a candy store when I see a great production coming together, particularly of something that just have never actually to see staged before. And so the great thing about what Jean Romain and Maestro Leon Botstein, who's conducting it, are doing with the whole creative team and the singers, is to discover how a great work from the past that's been more or less neglected, how it can work and how it can resonate for contemporary audiences while also being, you know, something that is both not of our age and very much for our age too. So it's incredibly exciting. It's one, I think, one of the glories of live performance, and also one of the things that makes it very risky, because you never know until it meets an audience for the first time how it's actually going to feel, how it's going to work. So this takes years of planning, and then suddenly it opens and we all discover together with the audience how it works. And that's a real thrill. Of course, it can be nerve-wracking. But it's when it goes well, there's no joy like it. And I hope the audiences that we're privileged to welcome to the Fisher Center also feel that sense of adventure.
I mean, of how many plates you have spinning at one time is really remarkable. The Summerscape overall, the Spiegeltent, and then Bard Music Festival, which is the 8th through the 10th and the 14th through the 17th, yet another component to this amazing festival.
That's right. And this year it's very exciting because the music festival is going to be bringing to our audiences a composer who's really not particularly known, but is quite magnificent. And that's Bohuslav Martinů, a composer originally from the Czech Republic who lived in the late 19th and early 20th century. Great neoclassical composer of lush, beautiful music, opera, symphonies, chamber music, choral works. Two very, very intense weekends of the Bard Music Festival provide absolutely ideal conditions for audiences to explore all of the aspects of Martinu's work.
It is Bard Summerscape and the Bard Music Festival and Dalibor, as well as the Spiegeltent. You can find out information about it all by going to fishercenter.bard.edu, fishercenter.bard.edu. Gideon Lester and Jean-Romain Vesperini, thank you so much for being with us. A delight. Best of luck. Have a beautiful season.
Thanks so much. Total pleasure. Have a good afternoon.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.